Summer, Joe with Market Street. This is KeelPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the main branch of the San Francisco Public Library in San Francisco's colorful Tenderloin District. Today is Thursday, the 20th of October, 2016. On this date in 1720, legendary pirate Calico Jack is captured by the Royal British Navy. He's executed soon after. He designed the Jolly Roger with the skull and crossed swords. 1740, Maria Theresa becomes the Empress of Austria. 1818, the border between Canada and the United States is settled by the Convention of 1818, appropriately named, signed between the U.S. and the U.K. 1827, the Battle of Navarino is fought between the Ottomans and Egyptians on one side and the British, French, and Russians on the other. It's the last major naval battle fought using wooden ships. 1873, American football gets a standard set of rules for the first time when Yale, Princeton, Columbia, and Rutgers adopt a common rule book. 1935, the Long March, a mammoth retreat undertaken by the armed forces of the Chinese Communist Party a year prior, ends. 1944, the Yugoslav partisans, led by Tito, a little bit of help from the Red Army, liberate Belgrade from the Nazis. 2011, ousted Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi is captured in his hometown of Sirte. He's killed soon after. Birthdays are Bela Lugosi, Mickey Mantle, Danny Boyle, Viggo Mortensen, and Snoop Dogg. Today is World Statistics Day. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tepeelpod.com or send us an email at tepeelpod@gmail.com. The Central Elections Commission released tentative dates for the 50 runoff elections that will decide the remaining majoritarian districts, as well as repeat elections for the four provincial proportional districts where results were tampered with on the 8th of October. Those are one precinct in Marnaouli and three in Zugdidi, where the voting processes were disrupted by angry mobs. The repeat elections will take place on the 22nd of October, and the runoffs will be on the 30th. Otsneba needs to win 46 of those 50 majoritarian districts to achieve a constitutional majority of 113 seats. They face National Movement candidates in 44 districts. In two districts, they face Free Democrats, but in one of those, they're running unopposed because Irakli Alassania dropped out of the race. In one district, they're going against a candidate from the industrialists, our homeland bloc, and in two districts, their opponents are independent. In Mtatsminda district of Tbilisi, the majoritarian race is between National Movement candidate and Salome Zurabashvili, independent, formerly French ambassador to Tbilisi, and then foreign minister in Misha's government very early on, although she pulled out fairly early. She's now backed by Otsneba. For the repeat election in Marnaouli, National Movement candidate Ahmed Imam Kuliev is currently leading Otsneba candidate Tamaz Naveriani in the polling. In Zugdidi, former First Lady Sandra Roloffs and now National Movement candidate is slightly behind Otsneba's candidate Edisher Toluraya in one of the electoral districts there. Otsneba set up a working group to discuss potential constitutional amendments, assuming the party wins the 113 seats necessary for a constitutional majority, what it will pass easily, if not what it hopes to pass, getting some opposition votes. Prime Minister Kvitakashvili said the purpose of any amendments would be to balance the Constitution and prevent any persons or groups within the government from concentrating power. President Mark Vilashvili said he's willing to work with the Prime Minister and the yet-to-be-named Parliamentary Speaker on preparing amendments. Otsneba has made clear its intention to change the Constitution to define marriage as between a man and a woman. They've also in the past mentioned amendments to make the office of president elected by parliament and not popular election, although they backed away from that recently. Some individual members of the NGOs issued a petition urging opposition political parties to instruct their voters not to vote for Otsneba in the runoff elections, citing the threat that a constitutional majority could pose for the country's democracy. The parties who received the petition include the National Movement, Republican Party, Free Democrats, State for the People, New Political Center, Girchi, or the Pinecones, New Rights, New Georgia, and Labor Party. Otsneba Executive Secretary Irakli Kobakhidze said concerns about the party abusing their majority are not based in reality and said the National Movement is behind the petition. The Free Democrat leader Shalva Shavgulidze said it would be dangerous for the country if Otsneba gets a constitutional majority, calling it a one-party dictatorship. but he will not call on his party supporters to vote for the National Movement candidates in the runoff elections. Police made two arrests for blowing up the National Movement member of Parliament Gibi Targamadze's car on the 4th of October. Police arrested a 40-year-old man with illegally storing a weapon, and he's being held in connection with the car bombing. Another man was charged in absentia in the same case. Police searched the houses of both men, found large amounts of weapons, explosives, and drawings of Targamadze's house and office. The Interior Ministry is still looking for others who may have been involved. A transgender woman was viciously attacked in Ortachala on the 14th of October. According to the police report, she was attacked by two people who used a knife and another blunt object. Her throat was cut. She had broken facial bones. She survived and is in a hospital in serious conditions. One of the attackers was arrested 2 days later in Rustavi. The 31-year-old admitted his guilt. The police also found a knife he used. He's been placed in pretrial detention. Ombudsman Ucha Nanuashvili called on the authorities to prosecute the attack as a hate crime, saying that because anti-LGBT attitudes, these crimes are common, law enforcement needs to pay special attention to the motives behind them. According to the Women's Initiative Support Group, there have been at least 20 reported attacks against transgender people in Georgia in 2016. A man blew himself up near the Abkhaz state television station Sukhumi on the 17th of October. He was carrying a homemade explosive device filled with shrapnel. Police think he was trying to assassinate a still unnamed politician when the bomb accidentally went off a little earlier than he expected. According to police reports, the man is a Russian national, like a lot of people in Abkhazia. Security has stepped up in Sukhumi since the explosion. The authorities are investigating the possibility that other people were involved. The government signed an agreement to make Georgia part of the European Energy Community, an organization aimed at creating an integrated European energy market. The extension agreement was signed by this sort of temporary energy minister, Ilya Eloshvili, at the meeting in Sarajevo. I'm guessing that Kaladze may not have wanted to sign it himself. Negotiations have been going on since February, and under the agreement, Georgia will be required to implement common EU regulations on electricity and gas networks, the environment, renewable energy and energy efficiency, oil and energy statistics. Several other non-EU countries are also members of the European Energy Community, including Ukraine and Moldova. This is a big deal because it, by treaty, is focused on preventing Gazprom and other Russian energy companies, and meaning state-owned energy companies, from playing individual European countries off each other, which they've been doing for a long time. This is a really big deal and an important step for Georgia and the EU. The Russian Duma ratified a bilateral military cooperation deal that the country signed with Abkhazia last November. The agreement allows for the creation of integrated military forces in Abkhazia. President Margvelashvili condemned Russia's ratification of the deal, calling it an attempt to give legitimacy to their illegal occupation of Abkhazia. He also called on the international community to respond. Special envoy to Russia Zurab Abashidze announced that Russia will return an archive of Georgian films made between 1916 and 1990. The films are currently being held by Gosfilmofond, a Russian state agency that dates back to 1937. It's estimated that they have about 1,000 Georgian films in total. That was announced before the formal Abashidze-Karasin meeting, which was on the 19th of October in Prague. During the meeting, they talked about human rights issues in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and Russia said it's working on simplifying its visa procedures for Georgians. In travel to and from Georgia, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze met with Polish European Parliament member Richard Lukashenko in Prague. They discussed the two countries' bilateral relationship. The French frigate Premier Matradere was in the port of Batumi this week as part of the two countries' bilateral defense cooperation plan. They held joint diving and naval boarding exercises. Members of the Georgia-China Friendship Association were in Tbilisi last week to elect a new president, Chinese businessman Jianzhong Zhang. He's currently the executive director of CEFC, China Energy Company Limited. Media reported that ex-defense minister Irakli Alasania is being considered to fill a vacant post on the president's National Security Council. It's been vacant since Irina Imerelashvili stepped down last month to take a position on the Constitutional Court. president's office denied they've identified any candidates. However, Alassani announced that he was temporarily leaving politics after the Free Democrats' defeat in the parliamentary elections. Otar Varmashvili, a wanted criminal who escaped from a Rustavi city court building in August by pretending to be ill, has been arrested in Tbilisi. Before escaping, he was serving a sentence for burglary, robbery, and attempted theft. According to the police report, following his arrest in Tbilisi, he had stolen bracelets, crosses, earrings, and rings on him when he was caught in a restaurant, all stuff that the police think he recently stole from a jewelry store in Tbilisi. Two people were killed in a car crash in Rustavi on Wednesday. A third person is in the hospital in serious condition. A Mercedes was traveling at very high speeds when it crashed into a light pole near a public school. The authorities are investigating whether traffic rules were violated. Construction worker fell to his death in Sabartalo on Wednesday. He was taken to the hospital but died shortly afterwards. The Interior Ministry is investigating whether security regulations were violated at the construction site. This comes after a fatal mining accident in Tribouli on the 11th of October, which led the ombudsman to call for the reintroduction of mandatory labor inspections. The Stepanitsminda-Larsi Road linking Georgia and Russia was temporarily closed this week because of heavy snow on the Gudari-Khobi section of the road. It reopened on Tuesday evening. A bear was sighted on Ichalto Street in Tbilisi on Monday night. Search efforts came up empty, though, and the zoo and circus reported that no animals were missing. If you see the bear, you're urged to call the authorities immediately. Georgia participated in the World Food Day on the 19th of October. The focus was on how food production and consumption need to change in order to adapt to climate change. Kakheti is getting a new bypass road that will connect the Tbilisi-Bakhurtsikhe-Lagodekhi road with the Akhmeta-Tel Aviv-Bakhurtsikhe highway. The 15.5-kilometer Gurjani-Bakhurtsikhe bypass road will cost about 38 million lari to build, is intended to ease traffic congestion and allow travelers to get to Kakheti from Tbilisi quicker and more easily. The contract was designed, the contract to design and build the road should be signed by the end of October. Once signed, construction will be finished within 2.5 years, they say. Georgia stat reported the total trade of the EU was up 10% annually during the first 9 months of 2016 for a total trade turnover of $2.5 billion. Reports from EU countries were worth about $2.1 billion, while exports were worth $389 million, 26% of Georgia's total exports. Georgia's biggest trade partner in the EU so far this year has been Ireland. Worldwide trade is up 24%, with imports up 34% from a year ago. Georgia's biggest global trading partner this year has been Canada, which is providing pharmaceuticals for anti-hepatitis C programs. Georgia, Kazakhstan, and Azerbaijan signed an agreement to apply preferential tariffs to Kazakh cargo traveling through the Trans-Caspian Corridor, which allows for transit to Europe through Georgia. The special rates will apply to cereals, oil products, and non-ferrous metals. Kommersant reported that the owners of the Biltmore Hotel are in talks with a major international casino operator to put a casino in the hotel. They will expect to sign an agreement by the end of this month. This info came from Sammy Edward, the CEO of Dabi Group, the company that owns the Biltmore. Once an agreement is signed, they expect the casino to start operating within 4 months. Boeing, Bombardier, and Airbus are going to source aircraft parts manufactured in Georgia. Construction of the new aircraft parts factory will start later this year in cooperation with the Partnership Fund and the Israeli company Elbit Cyclone, who created a joint stock company to operate the factory called Aerostructure Technologies Cyclone. The $85 million project will take 3 years to complete, will employ about 300 people. Farmers in Ajat and Gudi are preparing for the annual citrus fruit harvest. Government expects them to pick about 60,000 tons of oranges between November and January. Most of that's to be exported. Last year, Georgia exported 26,000 tons of citrus fruit, mostly to neighboring countries. The Agriculture Ministry announced that it's still considering whether to subsidize this year's harvest. 11 Georgian companies are presenting products this week at the Global Food Marketplace in Paris, often called by its French acronym CIAL. The Georgian companies are presenting products such as hazelnuts, juices, and other fruit products, wine, beer, and spices. The most notable company there is Georgian Traditional Winemaking. The Mitarbi Ski Resort near Bakudiani is reopening this season after being closed for 30 years. The new ski lifts, three new ski lifts have been installed. They were built by the Austrian company Doppelmayr. The renovation is part of a 100 million lari project to develop Mitarbi and Bakudiani's winter tourism infrastructure. It's a joint project between the National State Property Agency, Mountain Resort Development Company, and TBC Group LTD New Mitarbi. A Georgian subsidiary of the Russian company Vladne Produkt won a tender to build a 6.5 kilometer road between the villages of Dartlo and Chiho in Tusheti. Physicist Gia Dvali won Germany's Humboldt Prize for his work on exploring the potential existence of parallel universes. He'll get a 3.5 million euro grant to continue his research, as well as an appointment as science professor at the Max Planck University in Munich. The Humboldt Prize is given out to 8 scientists each year. Director Salome Joshi's documentary film, The Dazzling Light of Sunset, won the Best International Feature Film Prize at the Valdivia International Film Festival in Chile. The film chronicles daily life in a small community in western Georgia. The meme this week is a photo essay by Jacques Bourdin about internally displaced families living in an abandoned military hospital on Tbilisi's outskirts. The photos have been online for a while, but are starting to get a lot of attention. Stuff to read. Social Science in the Caucasus publishes their data analysis of parliamentary election results. They find the results were roughly as accurate as those from 2012, so not perfect, but broadly free and fair. Voice of America's Anna Kalandadze interviews Laura Linderman with long Georgia connections. She's of the Atlantic Council. She says it isn't a good sign for Georgian democracy that Otsneva has such a big majority, and that the public will be best off if the ruling party tries to work with the national movement. Whether or not the national movement agrees to that is another question. Tornike Zudubashvili writes his post-election analysis for the Clarion. He says the free and fair elections are a good sign for Georgia's democracy, but troubling that the Republicans and Free Democrats did poorly while the Alliance of Patriots got into Parliament. The pro-Western voice in Parliament will be weaker than they were before, and the relationship between the government and opposition will probably be more polarized. European Policy Center analyst Amanda Paul writes about the elections. She's optimistic, arguing that the triumph of policy over personality means Georgia is becoming a mature democracy. She doesn't discuss the issue of Otsneva winning a constitutional majority, though. Stephen Jones expresses a more pessimistic view for open democracy. He calls it an oligarchic election dominated by the interests of elites and confusion created by professional PR managers. However, he said Georgia has made enough progress that it should be judged alongside the Western democracies and not according to the low bar set by other post-Soviet countries. Andrew North has an interactive piece of art journalism, Eurasianet, about Eliava, an open-air hardware market in Tbilisi. It's a digitized sketch of the market, complete with audio and quotes, and some from the market's proprietors. Check it out. Chances are you haven't really seen anything like it. It's pretty cool. Now that the new parliament's on its way, we can make assessments about the previous one. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, publishes its assessment of the previous parliament. They held 231 plenary sessions, passed 1,505 laws, passed some laws the organization views positively, like the laws on the elimination of all forms of discrimination. The Calvert Journal introduces us to the best party spots in Eastern Europe. Tbilisi's Bassiani Club makes the list. No YOLO introduces that well-known website, introduces us to their favorite photographers in Eastern Europe. Making the list is George Gogua from Tbilisi, who does a lot of work on internally displaced people and brutalist architecture. Foreign Affairs has a piece about the Caspian Sea and what it means as a transportation corridor. The author, Bruno Makeas, travels from Alat in Azerbaijan to Turkmenbashi in Turkmenistan in a cargo ship. Both countries are hoping for the Trans-Caspian gas pipeline to be built, which would give Europe direct access to Central Asian gas. Jonathan Friedland writes in the New York Review of Books about Julian Assange and why he's apparently trying to help Donald Trump become the next president of the United States. WikiLeaks' only releasing documents harmful to Hillary Clinton. Freeland thinks it might be a personal vendetta against Clinton. Certainly Julian Assange is a guy who holds grudges, but the Ecuadorians have now turned off his internet, at least through the American elections. They're kind of getting sick of having him in their embassy, from what I've heard. All this stuff to read, post in our forum. This week's dive bar number is 50,000, the amount of the fine in Lari for illegally killing a brown bear. That's according to information from the Georgian Society for the Protection of Safety of Animals. A brown bear is on Georgia's red list of endangered species, so hunting, killing, or keeping a brown bear in captivity is all prohibited. So if you find a bear on the loose in Tbilisi, don't kill it. If you're a U.S. citizen, register to vote, check your registration, request your ballot, and personally call anybody you know from Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, or North Carolina, or anywhere else in the United States, and check up on their voting status. Those living in Georgia can easily register and mail a completed ballot. Check out vote.org for more information. Encourage your friends and relatives living outside the United States to vote. The website of the U.S. Embassy in Georgia also has a lot of very good information. The American Language Center is offering six-week survival Georgian courses starting on the 2nd of November. It's on Wednesday, Thursday nights. Costs 360 lari per person. For more information, go to alctbilisi.org. Katie Davies is organizing a drive to collect winter coats for internally displaced children living in temporary settlements in Isani. If you're interested in donating a coat, or better yet, you have some ideas on how you can get coats in bulk, please contact Katie at Kate, that's K-A-T-E, underscore Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, 2, at hotmail.com. For families with kids, the Ethnographic Museum is putting on a trick-or-treat Halloween night on the 31st. Museum entry costs 5 lari per adult, free for kids. Guests are also asked to bring some candy. They're asking for volunteers. If you're interested, also contact Katie Davies at Kate underscore Davies 2 at hotmail.com. Synodoc Tbilisi kicks off on Friday with documentary films showing around the city until the 25th. Most of the films are at the Amirani and Rustaveli theaters. Tickets are only 3 lari per film, or you can buy a full entry pass for 25 lari. You should definitely do this. There's some really, really interesting ones, and I'd encourage everyone to check that out. Tbilisi Fashion Week is on. It started Tuesday. It will finish on Sunday. Events are taking place around the city. You can see collections from brands and designers such as Mariam Gvasalia, Ani Datu Kishvili, Lasha Johadze, and many others. For information, call 322-364026. For those around the New York metro area, famous pianist Georgi Mikadze is teaming up with music ensemble Bassiani for a live recording event at the Shapeshifter Lab in Brooklyn from the 25th to the 29th of October. International School of Economics at Tbilisi, better known as ISET, is looking for a candidate for the position of Executive Assistant to the President. They need someone fluent in English, Georgian, and Russian. If you're interested, send your CV to vacancy at ISET, that's ISET.GE. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is fieldpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.fieldpod.com. And we will finish with, from Kinshasa, then Zaire, now Congo, the Lingala Queen from 1988. This is Mbili Abel with Manzil Manzil. Mazili mazili ngamupale ya emema mazili.
ne kiringwili emema mazili mazili nga mupale ya emema emetape alompare kuma emema mazili mazili nga mupale ya emema Kekwira emema Mazili mazili nga mupale ya emema Sabuna munganga elera me sabuna munganga Kekwira emema Mazili mazili nga mupale ya emema Bakare barabima kwe bora babe ale barabima le kirinsimi emema Mazili mazili nga mupale ya emema Bakare barabima kwe bora babe ale barabima le kirinsimi emema Mazili mazili nga mupale ya emema Emetabe alumpare kuma emema Mazili mazili nga mupale ya emema Emetabe alumpare kuma emema Mazili mazili nga mupale ya emema
Kaswagi, mi edeva teke